Hallelujah. If you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we'll get started in there. But before we turn there, I just wanted to acknowledge and David Frank, this is going to be his last Sunday with us. He's moving back to Ohio. And stand up, David, stand up. And he got all packed up yesterday, and he and his daughter are getting ready to head out tomorrow morning. But just make sure you tell him you love him, and we appreciate you, and we'll miss you. Go ahead. Yeah. 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 Father, we do. We just lift her up right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just ask you to help her, Lord, to know what to do, to ice it, to wrap it. But we just pray for healing right now in the name of Jesus, and that the trip would go well. Father, we thank you for putting angels around about them as they go, Lord, and that on every stop is ordained of you, Lord, and we just want to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I had a different message all prepared this morning, but while I was praying, which God does to me a lot, he changes it all around. And I like that. I like that because it's just good, and it's just God. So we're going to talk about the Father. The Father this morning. And Jesus said some incredible things, but look at Matthew chapter 6. And go to verse 2. It just says, well, actually start verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do charitable deeds, do not stand as a trumpet before you, and like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret, he himself will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not pray in vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven. Let's just stop right there. If you counted all the fathers, every time he's referring to the Father, but at that last one, if you really get a hold of what he's saying, it's an incredible statement. He says, your Father, your Father, your Father, your Father, your Father. And then he says, our Father. Our Father. You have a Father in heaven who is the same as Jesus' Father. You know, the Bible says that you're a joint heir with Christ, that you've been adopted as sons and daughters to the Most High God. He's your Father, and he wants to love you as a father. He wants you to know him as a father. And all of those things, don't do things in the open expecting to get man's reward, but do them in secret. Why? Because your heavenly Father will see you. And think about this in prayer. Think for a minute in prayer. Have you ever had your kids come up to you and just say, hey, Dad, can I have this? And you say, well, I'll think about it. 3 minutes later, hey, Dad, can I have this? And you think about it. Hey, Dad, can I have this? Finally, you go, no. You know, I mean, just get out of my face, right? But the reality is there is a relationship with your Father that he wants you to know is real. so that when you come to Him, you can come to Him with an expectation that He's your Father. Now, here's where the rub meets. How many know we're living in a time where everybody's cultural things are coming up, and we're I think it's a good thing that we're finally beginning to listen to each other, right? But your experience of a father is not the same as my experience with a father. There are many who didn't have fathers, or their fathers were there, but they were absent. You know, you can have a father in the home, but he's not really involved with the family, right? And then you can have fathers who aren't there at all, right? There are fathers who, you know, were there on the day of conception, but after that, they're out of here. And so there's a spirit of abandonment that comes over that person. And then I didn't have this experience, and I praise God that my dad was an awesome man, but not perfect. None of us are perfect. But then you have the other one that nothing that you do is right. Or that's so angry that you know, you just are afraid to be in His presence because Dad's here. We gotta shape up or He's gonna backhand us or something. You know, there's abusive fathers, right? And so that's our perception of who God is. There are many people who will pray to God and they'll pray and talk to Jesus and they'll even include the Holy Spirit. But they have a real hard time praying to the Father in Jesus' name. Why? Because of the experience that they had with the Father, with their Father, their earthly Father. It's really an amazing thing for me that I get to have the same title as God. I'm not saying I'm God. But God wanted fathers to portray who He was. But Jesus here says, our Father who's in heaven. It's not just the God that's out there that is not concerned with you at all, or just, you know, is up there and doesn't have time for you. He's your Father. And He loves you. And I want to paint a picture a little bit this morning about how good He is and how much you can trust Him. And if your father wasn't there for you, or your father was there and it wasn't a good experience, God wants to heal that this morning. God wants to heal that this morning. Years ago, and I've told the story before, but years ago I had the opportunity to speak in a church, and it was a church of about, you know, about 200 people, and I was speaking, and the Lord had me speak on the Father's love. And at the end of the service, I gave an altar call. All of those who've never experienced the Father's love, or your experience has been filtered through, you know, what you've experienced as a child, I want you to come up. I want to pray for you because God wants to break that over you. And when I gave that offer, that altar call, I really expected about two or three people to come up. The whole front was lined from one side to the other with people from 5 years old to 70 years old. That's remarkable to me. I was just amazed and blown away. I said, wow, God, You're really speaking to them. And so I prayed for them, and God did some awesome things. It was about 3 months later, a lady came to me. I was at another meeting, and I was just at the church, and she was at the same meeting, and she came up to me. She said, you have no idea how what you said and what you prayed over me changed my life. And I said, really, I don't, you know. But she said, I finally am able to call God my Father. Call Him my Father. Why? Because I don't see Him the same way that I used to see Him. I see Him now as the loving God who loves me so much and values me so much. And that's so true. Go to chapter 7. and let's start in verse 7. And again, we're talking about your father now. I just love that. Jesus said, our father. So this is my dad. This is my dad. This is my father that we're talking about. Amazing. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to them who ask him? Do you believe that? I mean, do you believe that? And the first part, if you being evil, or if you who have been affected by evil because of sin in the world, are able to bestow that upon him, how much more will your Heavenly Father? I like the how much more part. Right? Now, I've just got to tell you my experience, because it's my experience. Twofold. My dad was an amazing man, but he was a pipe fitter, and he did that all his life. He wasn't, you know, a highly educated man, but he was a hard working man. He went to work every day. And I was meditating on that verse one time when I was away from him for a long period of time, and he said, If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. I started thinking to my dad, and the picture came to me, and I remember it very vividly, where he would go to work, rain, snow, sleet, if he was sick. I can remember him being sick at night, sweating all night, and then getting up in the morning and going to work, because he didn't have sick leave or anything like that, and there are a lot of mouths to feed. But every day, day after day, year after year, come on, he was faithful. Why? Because he had a family. And he put a priority on his children. Amazing. And I read this verse, and I used to think about how that he would, I can remember him getting dressed for work, and he put on T-shirts that had holes in them so that I could have soccer shoes. Because he loved me that much. He loved all of us that much. He was willing to give himself for us that much. And how much more does your Heavenly Father want to give you? First of all, an awareness that this is who he is to you. And second of all, that when you come to him, you're not a bother. And that you don't have to ask like he's not hearing. You have to trust that he's hearing. And for some of us, we have to meditate on that for a long time and push out. See, this is what you have to do. You have to push out the picture that you have of an earthly father, or lack thereof, and allow God to paint the picture of how much he loves you. One of the biggest thrills for me, and she's not in here and my son's not here, but the biggest thrill for me is to be a help to my children. A few years ago, probably been about five now, that my son bought a house, and they were fixing it up. It was a fixer-upper. And I got to go over there for a few weeks, fixing up his house, helping him fix up his house. And my daughter-in-law once, because I did things the way they wanted them done. I have my own ideas, but that's their house. I'm going to do it their way. And she said, I'm just amazed. What? I said, honey, what are you amazed at? She said that you've come here and you do things the way that we want to, instead of telling us the way they should be done. Now, I'd give my opinion. There's no problem with that. But once they stated their opinion counted. But here's what I want to tell you. As a father, that wasn't something that I had to do because I felt obligated to do. It's something that I wanted to do because I could do. And so when Yeah. and so when I'm able to do that for Donnie, for the grandkids, whatever, as a father, it's something that thrills me to be able to do something for my kids. And if I, being evil, have that kind of motivation for my children, take this home, take it personal, how much more does your Father, who's in heaven, want to do that for you? It's true. I'm telling you, it is so true. He loves you so much. So much. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, and while you're turning there, what does a father do? What is the role of a father? Of course, it's different, and different cultures have different things and different ways. But really, I believe that God created fathers to provide, to protect, to teach, to discipline, to encourage. Let me go through that again. To provide, to protect, to teach, to encourage, to discipline. Why? Because God put us in a place where we could have an effect on the next generation so that their lives would be better. You know, I get a kick out of people that talk, especially men who get almost feeling like they're being put out having to work. And my thinking is, this is what God's created me for. This is my family. This is what I need to do. I need to provide for them. And I'll tell you what, I'm not a violent man at all. And probably, as far as violent confrontation, that's just not going to happen with me unless you're trying to harm my family. Then you're going to see a completely different side of me. Right? I'm going to raise up and I'm going to protect my family. You come into my house, I'll love you. And I'll pray for you after I take you down. Right? Because I'm going to protect my family. Right? My children, I wanted them to know something. I tried to teach them things. They didn't always listen. Shock. But here's what I know about what I taught them. Is my influence over them and how I've lived my life taught them way much more than the words or the lessons that I tried to teach them. And God wants you to know that He wants to have an influence with you as a father. He wants you to come to that secret place, right? Come into that secret place and say, this is where I belong. And wouldn't it be, for me, it would be just so disheartening for my children to come to me and say, Father, we're not good enough to be in your presence. And we're really scared to be in your presence because we know that you could thump us at any time. Right? Or we know that your standards are so high that we could never meet them. And we've always felt rejected by you, so therefore it's a fearful thing, a dreadful thing for me to come into your presence. Wouldn't that be awful? I never felt that with my dad. Never did. He always had a smile on his face when I walked through the door. The funny story, though, we were not huggers in my family. You know, the affection was, we loved each other, no doubt about it, but the affection was just not there that much. after 2 or 3 years old. And my dad, he didn't have anything to do with it. You know, I mean, with that part of nurturing. They loved us in so many ways. But after I got saved, of course, I got a bunch, around a bunch of fanatical people that were hugging each other all the time. Right? So I said, well, yeah, I'm either going to get with it or get out of it, right? So I got with it. I started hugging people. And I'll never forget the first day I went out to the lake property where they lived, and I gave my dad a hug. He was as stiff as a board. That was weird to him. But you know, about the fourth or fifth time I did it, he wasn't so weird anymore. Right? It wasn't so weird anymore. God loves you. He's there for you. He wants to be with you. He's not bad. He's good. And He wants to be good for you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace from God. Grace and peace. The word grace, and we all know that it means His unmerited favor, right? We know that particular definition. But I just want to hone in on the favor part. Did you know that God loves you so much? And the apostle here was, talking to the people, and he was opening the letter. He said, grace, God's favor rests upon you. God's favor rests upon you. The favor was already theirs because the favor was gotten by Jesus when He died on the cross and put us at the place where we could have a relationship with Him based on what Jesus did, not based on our expectations. It says, and this is incredible, in John chapter 20, He was talking to the gals that wanted to touch Him, and He hadn't yet been risen and gone to heaven yet. But He said, don't touch me. I have not gone yet to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. So it's not a little thing that He says to our Father. God, our Father. How many have ever had needs and think, wouldn't it be nice if Bill Gates was my father right now? Right? I could just call up Dad and say, hey, Dad, But we have a Father in heaven who's concerned about your needs, and His resources are incredible. But first of all, we've got to be comfortable coming to Him, and then we have to believe that He is. He's my Father. He's my Father. And His favor, I think as Peter said, may His favor or His grace be multiplied to you. I like this better. May it be magnified to you. May His favor, how much He favors you. Again, another story with my dad. Our daughter, Donnie, when she was born, she had just the thick jet black hair. Now, all of his other grandchildren, to my knowledge, I could be wrong about this, but most of them had lighter colored, and all of us, most of us had red hair, but especially when we were born. But my daughter was the first one, and I have a picture, it's in my office, where he was holding her, and he didn't hold babies. But he had an affection for, a favor. And so my Donnie told us this years later, she'd go out there and he'd always have these little Werther's candies by his chair, right? Little candies. And she'd come up and he'd sneak her one. And then he said, don't tell your brother. But you see, he favored her. He favored her. You need to know
that God your Father favors you. It puts everything in a different perspective. He favors you. I like to say it this way over myself. I'm one of his favorites. Right? He's no respecter of persons, so we're all one of his favorites. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you to relax in your relationship with God. Yes, he's God. Yes, he's magnificent. Yes, we should reverence him. But he's also your Father. And just as much as he was a father to Jesus, he's exactly the same to you. It changes our perspective. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You're favored with God. He wants you to be blessed. Blessed. It's really interesting. I think the classified Amplified says, whenever it says blessed, it says happy, to be envied. God wants you to be so loved that other people are envious of your relationship with him. Anybody up for that? Anybody want that? Anybody care for that? So even if you didn't have a great relationship with your father down here, even if he's been gone for a long time, like my dad's been gone for almost 30 years, it's still, if it was bad, if it was, you know, of course we need to forgive. How can we forgive somebody that's been a jerk to us? Have you ever thought about that? I got two people that are honest. But listen, the way that we forgive them is oftentimes, and I'm not excusing bad behavior or abuse, anything like that, but oftentimes a person just comes to the dance with what they have. In other words, that's what they were brought up with. That's what they experienced. That's what life did to them. And of course, the enemy comes in and multiplies that, right? So how can we forgive them and turn them over to God? We can do it because God has absolutely taken everything of me that doesn't measure up and has put his grace upon it. So Lord, they're your problem. I'm just coming to you because I forgive them. I'm going to release even the memory of them where you're concerned so that I can come boldly into your throne of grace, Lord, to find help in my time of trouble, my time of need. Glory to God. Don't you know that if my kids called me and I'm in the middle of the sleep, if they need me, I'm going. It might take me a couple of minutes to wake up, but as soon as I can get dressed, I'm on my way. Because they need me. And if I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more? How much more? Now look at this. God as Father is not going to say everything that you do is okay, because it's not. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says that, listen, if you don't experience the chastening of the Lord, then you're an illegitimate child. What does that mean? That you really don't have a relationship based on the covenant. He will discipline us. He will. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Hyla and I were talking this morning, and I talked about the times where I've gone to God with, you know, a situation and, thinking I'm going to hear, you poor baby. They did that to you, right? And here's what I hear. It's you. The problem is you. Your heart is wrong. Thanks a lot, Dad. But what the Father wants to do is to put you in a position where life is better for you and for those that are around you. So good. So good. Go to chapter 3. Y'all getting something this morning? Hallelujah. Chapter 3. This is an incredible prayer, and it's so many faceted. We've looked at it many, many times, but it's, as the apostle said, it's not a hard thing for me to tell you the same thing over and over and over and over again. Somebody said, Well, Pastor, we've heard that before. I said, well, hearing it doesn't do you any good. What do you mean? I said, it's doing it. Because if you actually did it and made it a part of your life, you wouldn't mind hearing it again. Thank you for your... Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known to the church and to the principalities and power in heavenly places, according to the eternal purposes which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. God did something marvelous for you and for me. Our Father did something incredible for us, and so that we can confidently come before Him. I hope your dad was such the one that would you could confidently go before Him and access Him at any time, and you'd feel welcomed and loved and cherished in that moment, because that's who your Heavenly Father is. And if you didn't, then just hang around, because God will show you. Verse 13, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Father, our Father, the Father. He's my Father. I bow my knee. I pray to Him. I'm seeking Him, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You cannot be full of God until you know and are confident that He loves you. And here's the good news. As God reveals His love to you as Father, and you go, man, that's awesome, I want to tell you that there's more behind that. You're seeing it like this, but it's bigger. And it's taller. And it's wider. His love for you is incredibly so magnificent. And He wants you, watch this, He wants you to get so full of it that you're full of Him. Years ago, I prayed this, and this was back in the charismatic days it seemed like at the time, if you've been in the body of Christ for very long, you listen to teachers, it's like there's themes that go around. Everybody's teaching on the book of Revelation, or they're talking about this, or they're talking about that. It's grace, it's this. But at the time, it was the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, everybody was the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, when you had conversations with people, and they'd say, well, what gifts do you operate in? And some really arrogant people said, well, I operate in all 9 of them. It's kind of like, And I sincerely prayed this. I said, Father, give all of the gifts to somebody else. Would you just teach me to love like you love? I want to know your love. And I haven't arrived at it yet by any means. But I'm growing. I'm growing. And you see, I love you. We used to sing a song. You'll remember this. I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. And see, that is our absolute desire. It says, you be touched, but you can't touch others until you've been touched yourself. Because if you tell somebody else that you love them with the love of the Lord and you don't know what the love of the Lord is, you're just hearsay evidence in court, right? I mean, it's not the same thing. But God wants you to know today, this morning, and I'm going to close it sometime. He wants you to know that He is your Father and that He wants to protect you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to teach you. He wants to encourage you in who He's made you to be, right? And if He comes to discipline you, it's only to make you better. It's never to punish you. Again, I had the revelation of that verse, if you being evil know how to give good gifts. And it settled for me right there that God would never be the one to break my leg to teach me something. God would never put cancer on me to teach me something. Now, I might learn something if I had a broken leg, you know, not to do that stupid thing again. Or you know, that He might visit me in a special way while I have cancer, but He didn't do that to show me something. Why? Because I wouldn't do that to my kids. You know, come up here, Michael. I'm going to just slap you until your legs, you know, your hands broke or something, because I want to teach you. I want to get your attention, boy. That's not me. That's not God. That's just not it. What I would do is, and you know, of course, my son and I have a great relationship. But he, when he first moved out, right, I was so frustrated with him. Because I had to be the one that called him. He never called me. So I had a choice there. I had a choice there. I could either get angry about him and go, if he's not calling me, I'm not calling him. Right? But then my relationship would have stopped with him. But again, I came to the place where I was, you know, I'd call him and say, hey, can you do lunch tomorrow? Can you do, you know, and we'd go out and do those things. But again, here's God again. This is how good He is to me. After he first moved out, I was, you know, I'd go to lunch with him or breakfast or whatever. And I'd say, well, what are you doing about this? What are you doing about this? What are you doing? Are you going to school? What are you, what, you know? And I'd just drill him about what I thought he should be doing. Not because I was trying to control him, but I wanted his life to be good, right? But at the same time, I was driving home and the Spirit of God said, just started talking to me. He said, would you want to hang around somebody who was telling you what to do all the time? You talking to me? God, are you talking to me? Yes, I'm talking to you. And at that moment, I'd had to decide that I was no longer the same kind of father with the same role. I had to become an encourager. I had to become a coach. I had to listen to him. I had to see him as a man rather than a boy. It was a different relationship, right? And God sees us different through our relationships. But here's the thing, He loves all of us the same. I know, and this is without a shadow of a doubt, that for my children, for my wife, for my grandchildren, I would take a bullet for them. No doubt about it. No question in my mind. But watch this. God's the same way with us. In fact, it's so clear that He's that way, that He did the ultimate thing. And you all know this, but listen to this again and let it refresh you. He values you so much, and He wanted you as His children so much that He said, son, I need you to do something. I need you to go down. I need you to suffer. I need you to be ridiculed. I need you to be shamed. I need you to know the fullest humility that's ever been known. And I need you to get up on a tree. And I need you to take on the sin of the whole world. Why? Because I want my children back. I want my children home. The Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, through His sacrifice, might be saved. God loves you that much. He loves you. He loves you. It's the very start of you having faith enough to believe that He'll do what He said He'd do for you. Amen? Amen. Did y'all get something this morning? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank You for everybody that's listening. And I'm looking into the camera right now. I want you to know that God loves you. That He's your Father. He desires for you to know Him and to come to Him just like you are. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, He's already paid the price for you to have a relationship with God. And all you need to do is ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And He will. Simple prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask You to be Lord of my life. Father, I just thank You right now that Jesus Christ died for my sins, but He was raised on the third day, and He is my Lord. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. If you said that, or if you've never said it before, but you said it this morning, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's your Father. He loves you. He wants you. He desires to have a relationship with you. So just walk with Him. Father, I thank You for every heart that's listening, every ear that's heard what You said. And Lord, I ask You to burn this into them. Lord, Your perfect love, Your love that's been brought to maturity, drives out fear, fear of failure, fear of not measuring up, fear of the future. And God, we just drive that out right now in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, for an anointing upon every person that's in this room and that's listening or will be listening, that their heart would be changed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to close in just a minute. But just everybody close your eyes for just a second. I might not get the words to the song right, but it's okay. Lord, I'm amazed at the love You have for me. Like a father with a son, You teach me how to see. There have been times when I didn't know what to do, but You took me in Your arms. Oh, You took me in Your arms. Oh, You took me in Your arms. And You fathered me. You fathered me. You fathered me. Thank You, Lord, for fathering us this morning. And we all want to say, Happy Father's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.